This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you with a grateful heart always to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. My guest today is no stranger to the airwaves, or TV for that matter. In fact, next Monday, she's airing a new show called Crowded House, which of course we'll talk about. And she's also an educator, an author, an international speaker, and the creator of Coffee Talk, an online lifestyle and relationship publication. This woman has advice and inspirational teachings for every aspect of your life. Welcome to Soulful Living, Lisa.
Thanks so much, Terry. It's so nice to speak with you. Thank you for having me.
So listeners, we're chatting with Lisa Coffey. You can find all of her information here at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. And Lisa, congratulations on the so many things that are happening in your world.
Yeah, 2015 has just been like, wow, such an exciting year. And it's only half over, you know. I'm so excited to see what the rest of the year is going to bring. But yeah, I've got 3 brand new books out, which is great. And the thing I'm most excited about right now is this new TV show, which is going to air on HGTV on Monday, July 6th. So 1 week from today, I can't even believe it. It's a really fun show. They're billing it as Comedy Comes to HGTV. So if anybody's an HGTV fan like I am, it's hard, home and garden television. They do a lot of like home renovations and real estate and everything about the house, you know. So this show is really fun. It's kind of like House Hunters, where a couple goes looking for a home. And in House Hunters, they have a real estate agent with them. And then they just look at 3 houses and then they pick one, you know, and then they show them afterwards how it all turned out and the whole bit. And people love this show. It gets great ratings. The fun thing is at home, you can try to guess which one are they going to pick, or which one would you pick, or which one did you like, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Crowded House is a little bit of a twist on that, in the couple goes looking for a house and they have a real estate agent with them, and they also have 15 opinionated strangers coming with them. So I'm one of those 15 opinionated strangers, and everybody's got a different angle, a different take about what they would like and not like in a house. So some people are contractors, some people are real estate investors, some people are decorators. My spin is that I'm the feng shui expert. So I'm looking at the feng shui of a house and telling them what's good and not so good about it, the challenges and the benefits of having that particular house. So it's really fun because it's unscripted. When we walk in the house, none of us has ever seen it before, and we just kind of wing it. And so many funny things come out of the conversations, you know, and there's all these personalities that it's just going to be really, really fun. I can't wait to see how they edited it, because sometimes we were all talking so much, I don't know how they could hear us, you know?
Well, you know, you, with your own experience in television, you know that once they start editing, you never know what's going to show up in there.
Exactly. So this is going to be fun for me to see too.
Yeah. Well, and tell us a little bit about feng shui and what that means to you and how you use that in your world.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me to see the whole progress of it, because back in like, oh my gosh, I think it was 1983 or 84, I started studying feng shui and nobody knew what it was. It was like so off the grid, you know. It was just, what is that? You know, and now everybody knows about feng shui. It's the Chinese art of placement. And as it was growing in popularity, and as I kind of started discovering Ayurveda, I found out that feng shui really comes from a science called Vastu, which is the Indian art of placement, which is a sister science with Ayurveda. So Ayurveda is a sister science with yoga, meditation, Vastu, and also Jyotish, which is the Indian version of astrology. So
Ayurveda really is something that can be used in every aspect of your life as well. I don't want to get too far on that subject while we're talking about feng shui, but would you say that that's a fair way to describe it, that you can incorporate Ayurveda into everything?
Absolutely, because Ayurveda is the science of life. I mean, and what is not life, right? It's everything. So, you know, it's a beautiful practice that you can use as a lifestyle to keep you healthy and happy. So when I was looking at the roots of feng shui, I found that the roots of it are really in India. And for, you know, now feng shui has become very mainstream. Everybody knows about it. And just like when I started with Ayurveda back in like 96, 97, nobody heard about Ayurveda. And now everybody's hearing about Ayurveda. And it just makes me so happy, you know, because it's benefited me so much in my life. And I get so energized just thinking about how wonderful it is and how it applies to all these different areas of our life and our relationships and our health and our environment and everything, you know, that to know that more people are practicing it and using it and finding out the beauty of it, just like I did, it makes me so happy. It's wonderful.
Well, and I think that people have a notion of Ayurveda as being extremely complicated because of where it comes from and partially because the teachings are so old, which is kind of what I think about shamanic work. You know, I am a shamanic practitioner, and people think that's woo-woo and out there and complicated. And in reality, the teachings of Ayurveda are very simple once you begin to comprehend and understand them. And they're very simple to incorporate into your life. So based upon your work and your teachings, you started practicing them for yourself and for your family, incorporating them into your everyday life.
Right.
And you began healing, and your family began healing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I kind of look at my role in this as, you know, the shamanism is so amazing. And I think what really led that to be mainstream is Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. Mm-hmm. And that really simplified it for people. And they saw, oh, yeah, I can do this, right? And
right.
So I'm trying to really simplify Ayurveda for people. And I think that's what my book, What's Your Dosha Baby, people read that and they go, oh, really? That's all there is to it? That's easy. I can do that, you know? So I've really broken it down for them into, it's all about nature. It's about being in harmony with nature. It's about, you know, respecting yourself and your body and what you need. It's not this one size fits all. It's your, you know, how you tick. And when you know how you tick and who you are, then you're better able to accept and understand other people as well.
Well, and you created courses to support that so that people can easily and effortlessly begin to incorporate these practices into their lives. And from that, from those teachings, you've just created so many different offerings. And one of the most recent things that you're focusing on is your two books, Ananda and Bhakti. And I have to say that I love how you use the ancient wisdom to empower our lives. And Ananda, of course, is one of my favorite words. It's all about bliss.
Yes, it's all about bliss. I love it. Yeah, it's the Vedic way to happiness and bliss. And, you know, the bottom line in the whole thing about Vedanta and Ayurveda and everything is it says that we can't find happiness from anything outside of us. So the idea is really to get to know who you are and how you fit into the big picture. And when you know that, how can you be anything less than blissful, right?
Absolutely. So well, and how do we go about finding out, you know, who we are and what we want?
Yeah, there's actually an Ayurvedic prescription for that. And I put one chapter of the book in Ananda that explains this Ayurvedic prescription. And there's little tips in there like be a well-wisher of all creatures. So isn't that sweet? A well-wisher of all creatures.
It's not only sweet, it goes back to simplicity. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's just, of course, it's, you know, the Buddhists say that life is all about suffering and the goal is to alleviate suffering. And this just says, yeah, don't cause harm. And try to alleviate suffering. Be kind. Treat all living beings with kindness. Be happy for other people's success. You know, allow everyone to be happy. So when you're a well-wisher of all creatures, you know, you're one of those all creatures, right?
It brings it right back to you.
Exactly. And so then another tip is it says, do not aspire the wealth of others. So that's just saying you don't have to be jealous or envious. You have so much already. There's nothing that you're lacking. There's plenty of everything for everyone in the universe. And so look at your own wealth, which could be your health is your wealth. You know, your relationships is your wealth. You know, anything that you have is really so much because it's not about the external. It's all about the internal, all your blessings. You know, so
well, and each of us is so uniquely different that what we, you know, what we consider a blessing or something to be grateful for in our lives might be completely different than the person next to us. It's as individual and unique as we are.
Right, right. And, you know, our talents are part of our wealth. Our skills are part of our wealth. We have so much. And so I think it's a lot of just looking at what we have, not what we don't have, you know, not what somebody else has.
And so, what we are, you know, this morning I pulled a Zen Osho tarot card. Sometimes I like to just, you know, grab a card and find something to focus on for the day. And the card that I pulled today was about comparison, but it was really about, I mean, the first paragraph was, the bamboo does not compare itself to the oak tree. You know,
exactly.
The bamboo is simply the bamboo and grateful for what it is and what it has and doesn't see itself as anything less than magnificent.
Yes.
And I think that's so in line with the simplicity that you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that you use that particular example because in Ayurveda, I all the time compare the doshas to trees and in things in nature. So Vata is like a bamboo tree and Kapha is like an oak tree and Pitta is like a pine tree. So when you're a Vata type, the bamboo, love that Vata type, you know, and don't aspire to be the oak because that's not who you are. The oak has its benefits and its beauties as well, but, you know, we need both. We need both.
Yeah, absolutely. We need everything on the planet in order to exist. Going back to the news and what we see around us, I also read in that online something about if any one of the creatures in existence were to disappear, the void that we would all experience. And
oh, absolutely.
I mean, that just brings it back to the uniqueness and the individuality of how we are, but again, also connected, deeply, deeply connected.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Every single little thing. I mean, we've all heard about the bees and we're in a problem because we're not having enough bees and we need to be kind to our bees and they take care of our food. And what would we do without the bees? We wouldn't have any food. It was, You know, every single tiny little creature has a role to play, an important role to play in this planet. So,
and what do you, what does it mean to you to be living your bliss? What does that look like for you?
Oh my gosh, it's loving every day. You know, I never know what's going to happen any single day, because here I'm basically a freelancer entrepreneur. I'm a vada. I fly with the winds. Whatever happens, happens, you know. And I'm free to express myself and my creativity, which is, to me, is such a blessing, you know. But first and foremost, I consider myself a teacher more than anything else. So as a teacher, you have to learn new things so that you have new things to teach, right? So I'm constantly learning and teaching and growing and teaching again and all that. And, oh, my gosh, I had one of the most remarkable experiences when I was in India this past time in December. So Christmas Day of 14, I left for India and came back, I think it was January 11th or something. So I was there for a long time. And I went there to film our new e-course about Ayurveda.
And I can't wait to see that.
It was amazing. You can go to AyurvedaEcourse.com to check it out. It was so amazing. Well, it's interesting, and I wrote a Huffington Post blog about this, because the whole experience was so synchronistic and beautiful and amazing. Well, the first time I went to India was in 2000, and I went with Deepak Chopra, who's my mentor, and I learned so much, and I really felt like I had a spiritual transformation, because I got home and my entire life changed. You know, I got divorced, I married somebody else, my, you know, all this stuff happened, I moved. It was just, like, amazing. And when I was there, my son had his 14th birthday. We were at the Taj Mahal for his 14th birthday.
Wow, and I learned that that's amazing.
And I learned that in India, the 14th birthday is very significant. It's like in the Jewish tradition, the 13th birthday, when the child becomes an adult. And in the 15th birthday in the Hispanic tradition, when the girls have the quinceañeras, it's a, it's a rite of passage, this 14 years. And when I was in India that first time, I had my charts done and everything, and this guy was reading my palm, and he said to me, "You're pregnant." And I looked at him like, "No, I'm not. You're not. What are you talking about?" He goes, "No, no, 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 no. You're pregnant with yourself. You're giving birth to yourself. You're going to be a new person after this trip." I thought, wow, that's like really cool, you know?
And that is so profound.
Yeah. So listen to this. Then 14 years later, I go back to India, and I'm like, now this is my transformation again, because I've grown and matured, and now I went from being like the child to the adult, to the spiritually mature. You know, it's like I'm born again as another new person exactly 14 years later from when I went. So I just thought that whole thing was so remarkable and so perfect. And here I was returning, not just as a student, but as a teacher now,
to teacher.
Teach Ayurveda and all this stuff with it. And we created this course that's 7.5 hours long on video. We had a Bollywood director who directed it. They used all the special effects, and we had professional yoga dancers there. And, oh, my gosh, it was so, so crazy good. I mean, it's something that it did. It changed my life once again, you know, and now I have that. And one of the things I did when I was in India is that for New Year's Day, I always make resolutions, you know, and I thought, I want to write a prayer a day and every day and see how many prayers I get. You know, maybe I'll get 365. Maybe I'll get, you know, some other number or whatever. So when I was in India, I was writing more than a prayer a day. They were just coming so fast and furious, these prayers. It was just, whoa. And they were all so I'm like, wow, this is channeled stuff. You know, I can't come up with this on my own. This is all God speaking through me, you know, and I just loved it so much. And I said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to write 108 prayers because 108 is a very spiritually significant number in India. It's the 9 planets times the 12 astrological signs. It's when you look at the number 108, the 1 is symbolic of us connecting with spirit, right? That direct connection. The 0 is representative of the oneness of all of us, how we're all connected and we're all together in this journey. It's the unity and the harmony. And then the 8, when you turn it sideways, is infinity, no beginning and no end. So I put 108 prayers together in this book that's now called Bhakti. And Bhakti is divine love. So it's called Bhakti, 108 Prayers of Devotion. And I'm so happy with it. I just feel like it's so special and so different from anything else I've ever written.
Well, and I loved the prayers. You know, I printed them out, and you can open them up. You know, you don't have to practice them in any particular format, but you can simply open them up and find one that is significant to you. And each one starts with, Dear God, and each one ends with a gratitude, which, of course, is so important in life to connect with that deep sense of gratitude that we are all, you know, looking to connect with. What were some of yours? Do you find that you go back to any one of those prayers on a regular basis, or, you know, what was one of your favorite ones, one of your favorite bhaktis?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have them and I love them, but I'm still writing more. And I find that what I really want people to get out of this book is to inspire them to write their own prayers.
Yeah.
You know? So that, like, when I'm on a walk, I'll just start thinking of a prayer and I don't even necessarily write it down, you know? It's just, I'm walking in prayer, and the walking becomes a meditation in itself. And, you know, when you're, you know, waiting for somebody, you're in the car waiting for somebody to come, you could just sit there and write a little prayer. It could just be 2 or 3 lines. That's all, you know, just something to bring you back to spirit, to remind you of who you are and your connection with the divine. So I think that's what I want. I mean, I hope people do find their favorites and read them. I remember that Marianne Williamson has a book of prayers, and there was a prayer I really liked in there, and I had it on my bathroom mirror. And then I heard Marianne Williamson on Oprah one time, and Oprah was saying, oh, there's one of my favorites, and I put it on my bathroom mirror, and I thought, oh, how cool is that? You know, Oprah and I are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope people do that with my prayers, too, you know, like, oh, this really resonates with me. I'm going to put it on my bathroom mirror so that I see it every morning, and it reminds me to go back to that place, you know? So, yeah, that's a beautiful thing about prayer. I think it can just transform lives.
Well, prayer and meditation, and, you know, you mentioned earlier, well wishes of all creatures. And when I speak to people that don't necessarily have a belief in God, but they talk about creation, in my opinion, it's all the same. And even if you simply lived your life in, as you said, like a walking prayer, walking meditation, and you simply said, you know, make me a conduit for your wishes, you know, for your well wishes, for humanity, for all of humanity, for every living, breathing being on the planet. It's amazing. And there's, as we're talking about making up your own, I could think of a million of my own. And Lisa, we're down to the wire here. We only have 2 minutes left. Can you believe how fast it goes?
I could talk to you all day.
I always feel like we're just getting started, and like we should have part one, part two, part 10, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
So listeners, I want to remind you to take a look at all of Lisa's information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. And Lisa, I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a thought that they could take out into the day. And I also want to say thank you. So thank you so much for being here with me and sharing your love and your passion with my listeners. So what's that thought that they can take out into the day?
Well, here's another one of the tips from my Ananda book on the Ayurvedic Ayurvedic prescription for happiness. And it's, have full knowledge of the spiritual power and be devoted to it. So basically, it's making spirituality a priority. You know, we see the good that it does in our own lives, so take that good out into the community and to everyone around us. And it doesn't matter what your practice is or your devotion is or what your beliefs are, but if everyone had this devotion to spirituality in some way, then this world would be a much more happier place, a much more blissful place.
Thank you. Thank you, as always, for being here with me. And I send you a deep bow.
Me too. Thank you. Namaste.